The next witness was Levita Brewer, the same woman who testified against Dennis Fritz. She told her story again, meeting Ron and Dennis in a bar in Norman, getting in the car with them, becoming frightened, jumping out, calling the police. According to her version, Ron never touched her or threatened her in any manner. She became hysterical in the back seat of Dennis's car because he would not stop and let her out, and the worst thing Ron did during the episode was to tell her to shut up. She eventually jumped out of the car, fled, called the police, but did not press charges. Letha Caldwell testified again. She had known Ron Williamson since their junior high days at Bing and had always been friendly with him. During the early 1980s, he and Dennis Fritz began hanging around her house late at night, always drinking. One day, she was working in her flower beds, and Ron appeared. They had small talk, and she kept working, which irritated him. At one point, he grabbed her wrist. She broke free, walked into the house, then realized that her children were inside. He followed her, but didn't touch her again, and soon left. She did not report the incident to the police. The final witness was by far the most damaging. A divorced woman named Andrea Hardcastle told a harrowing tale of an ordeal that lasted over 4 hours. In 1981, Ron and a friend were at her house, trying to coax her into going out with them. They were headed for the coach light. Andrea was keeping 3 children of her own and 2 others, so she could not go out. The men left, but Ron soon returned to retrieve a pack of cigarettes. He entered the house uninvited and quickly made a pass at Andrea. It was after 10 at night, the children were asleep, and she was frightened. She had no interest in sex. He exploded, striking her repeatedly about the face and head and demanding that she perform oral sex. She refused and, in doing so, realized that the more she talked, the less he hit her. So they talked. He talked about his baseball career, his failed marriage, his guitar playing, God and religion, his mother. He had gone to high school with her ex-husband, who was a part-time bouncer at the coach light. At times he was quiet, peaceful, even tearful. At other times he was erratic, loud, and angry. Andrea worried about the children, all 5 of them. As he talked, she kept thinking of some way out of the ordeal. He erupted into violent fits, hitting her again and trying to pull off her clothes. He was too drunk to maintain an erection. At one point, Ron allegedly said that he figured he would have to kill her. Andrea was praying fervently. She decided to play along. She invited him back the next afternoon when the kids would be gone and they could have all the sex they wanted. This proposal appealed to him greatly, so he left. She called her ex-husband and her father, and together they patrolled the streets looking for Ron. They were heavily armed and not shy about roadside justice. Andrea's face was a mess, cuts, bruises, swollen eyes. Ron wore a ring engraved with the head of a horse, and this caused numerous small puncture wounds around her eyes. The police were called the next day, but she adamantly refused to press charges. Ron lived close by, and she was terrified of him. Barney was unprepared for her testimony and muddled through a half-hearted cross-examination. The courtroom was silent when she stepped down from the witness stand. The jurors glared at the defendant. It was hanging time. Inexplicably, Barney called no witnesses to mitigate the damage and try to save Ron's life. Annette and Renee were sitting in the courtroom, ready to testify. Not one word had been uttered throughout the trial about Ron's mental incompetence. No records had been introduced. The final words the jurors heard from the witness stand were those of Andrea Hardcastle.